This message was recorded live at Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church in Plantation, Florida. Welcome to PlantationSDA.tv. Here you will find a diverse variety of Bible-based topics and conversations. God's master plan to inspire your mind, bring peace to your heart, and uplift your soul. May you be blessed and encouraged as you listen to God's Word.
Happy Sabbath, church family. God is good. God is here. We are blessed. We have lungs in our, we have ear in our lungs. So we are blessed to be in the house of God, the Sabbath. I'm blessed to know I can worship with you, that you can be there, as Elder Moser would say. You can stay comfy in your bed, in your living room, in your kitchen, in your bathroom, in your, you know, in your jammies, you know. But heaven is here, and that is what it is. You know, there's no distance with God, because he's a good, good God, and he's everywhere. So let us just praise God this morning. It is the culmination of the three angels' call to prayer. What a week. What a week. I hope your souls were watered with the word. I hope seeds were sown into your lives that's going to germinate harvest after harvest, and that you are going to win souls. That will be your goal, your resolution for 2022, because Jesus Christ is coming soon. I just want to thank the team that I put this wonderful event. It was such a huge undertaking, and I would be remiss if I did not give a shout out to the prayer ministry team, Elder Angela, who really took on this huge undertaking, the logistics, the planning. Elder Fred, Errol Thompson, Lourdes, Sister Lyra, Elder Barbara, so the whole prayer ministry team, but not only the whole prayer ministry team, but all those who have been working behind the scenes, the media ministry, worship coordination, Addy, oh my God, big, immense thank you. How could we have done this without you? God bless you. May he sow into your life. May you reap with an overflowing blessing. I thank God for the pastors for giving us the platform, Pastor Kevin, Pastor Jen, Pastor Marsh, just all the elders, all the participants, all the presenters, everyone. But last but not least, you, our viewing audience. Thank you so much for your prayer and for your support. And if I forgot the media, the visual arts, how can I forget them? So thank you so very much for all that you have done. Heaven has taken notice. That's a wonderful thing when we do God's work. He takes notice. And what he does, he lays our path. But in Psalm 68, it says that he crowns the year with favor. So we just start this year. So we don't care what we're seeing in the physical. The Bible says that he crowns the year with favor, and he ladens our path with good things. So let us open our mouth and praise the Lord, because when the praises goes up, the blessing comes down. I have been tasked with this incredible assignment, as Elder Nick put it, to put a bow or put a cherry on top of it. So today I'm going to be speaking about the three angels' call to prayer. Even though our format is culminating today with a series going live stream, please go back and watch and spend time with God, because that is the clarion call, that God is making a personal appeal to his people to call them into worship, to true worship. You've heard all the presentation about the beast power, and I'll speak a little bit about that, because it doesn't take anything. It doesn't take a magnifying glass. I know that many people don't use it nowadays, but it doesn't take a magnifying glass to see what's going on. And that's what God is calling us to: holiness, to purity, to deep intimacy with him. So I hope that you will enrich your lives through this prayer, that your prayer life will be rebooted, recharged, where you are seeking God like never before. So my sermonic discourse today will be the three angels' call to prayer. Let us pray. King Yahweh, thank you so much for being the good, good Father you are. You've been so good to me. You've been so good to Plantation Church family and all your people on earth. Lord God, all your people from the nautical points of the earth, east, west, north, south, you have been good. And so, God, today we want to just praise you because you are the mighty King. You are the mighty Lord. And so, Father, I come now and I ask that you will anoint these lips of clay. Father, anoint them with your words that as they speak, may they go forth and bring forth, Lord God, illumination, revelation. May they bring forth transformation to those who will hear. Abba, Father, I am your blank white sheet of paper. Etch your word in the canvas of my heart and mind. Holy Spirit, incubate me with power and your anointing right now. Here I am. Amen. It was on December 21st, 1968, that history was made at the Kennedy Space Center when the Apollo 8 flight crew launched their first successful manned mission to orbit the moon. On Christmas Eve, the spacecraft began the last of 10 orbits around the moon. While looking down on the surface of the moon and beyond just into the sea of darkness, there it was. Rising above the shoreline of darkness was the Earth, bejeweled in spherical brilliance of blue and white colors from the radiance of the sun. The astronauts were awestruck. William Anders, James Lovell, Frank Borman broadcasted a message to what was then the largest television live audience in history. William Anders said, "For all the people on Earth, the crew of Apollo 8 has a message we would like to send to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, 'Let there be light,' and there was light. And God saw the light, that it was good." They each took turns reading the creation story of Genesis chapter 1. When they finished reading the chapter, mission commander closed with the words, "And from the crew of Apollo 8, good luck, a Merry Christmas, and God bless all of you on the good earth." Shortly after they returned to Earth, Mission Commander Borman was asked why they chose to read Genesis 1. He responded, "We wanted to transmit our feelings of closeness to the Creator of all things." The crew of Apollo 8 could have chosen any message. They could have chosen to read personalized notes to loved ones, share their ecstasy of emotions in making history as the first manned spacecraft to orbit the moon. They could have talked about space exploration, etc., etc. But at the pinnacle of their career, they chose to glorify and show reverence to the Creator of all things. They chose to trumpet the first angel's message that God is the Creator of all things. You and I may not get that illustrious opportunity to broadcast from space to the world that God is the Creator of all things. But you and I have been commissioned by God to broadcast to the world the everlasting gospel of Jesus Christ. But you must proclaim it. It does not matter where you proclaim it from, your bedroom or the classroom, the pulpit or the street corner, Silicon Valley or the back alley. Wherever you are, whoever you are called to proclaim the gospel. There are three fundamental lessons we can learn from the Apollo 8 crew. One, give glory to God for his creation. Two, evangelize his magnificence and all every opportunity you get. Tell of his goodness. And three, be not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. The gospel of Jesus Christ sets sinners free. The gospel of Jesus Christ make the poor man rich and the rich man poor in spirit for the things of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ plunders hell and rescue captives. The gospel of Jesus Christ heal the sick, give sight to the blind, hearing to the deaf, speech to the mute, raise dead people, conquer death and hell and the grave. The gospel of Jesus Christ is hope. It is freedom. It is joy. It is life, eternal life. The message of the cross is foolishness to many in the mainstream media, Hollywood, and the intellectual elite. In some churches, it has been watered down to appease the lifestyle of their members and the popular masses. Morality has now become an evolutionary theory. I used to believe this, but no, my reasoning has evolved. I have come to accept that I was born this way. I am just spiritual because the universe is my guide. But the perishing world need to hear the message of hope. They need to hear the message of liberty. So let your voice be like a trumpet and do not be ashamed to tell the world of the good news. Tell it up there. Tell it over there. Tell it around there. Tell it. Go tell it on the mountain. The world cannot cancel you. Cancel culture cannot undo you or cancel you. Get this. They cannot cancel you because they can't cancel mighty God you serve. Jesus is speaking. If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in this adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns in the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Mark 8, verse 38. Which brings me to these questions in my sermonic discourse of the three angels' call to prayer. What has happened? What is happening? Why the three angels' message now? And why prayer? To fully grasp the gravity and the geopolitical framework for the proclamation of the three angels' messages in Revelations 14, verses 1 to 5 and 6 to 12, you would need to look back at the prophetic chain of events that occurred in the preceding chapters, notably Revelation 13 and Daniel 7, and what comes after. In this sliver of time, I will provide you a cursory preview. So get your writing apparatus and track with me. Go ahead right now and bookmark your Bibles to Revelation 13, verses 1 to 8, Revelation 14, 1 to 5, and 6 to 12. After you have bookmarked, go ahead and turn with me to Daniel 7, chapter 7, verses 1 to 8, verse 15, verse 21 and 25. See, Daniel received a vision in the historical period of 550 BC. 50 years before, Nebuchadnezzar had a vision of the image that was made with different metals. So here Daniel is given a vision about four beasts, and I want to show you the correlation between the beast in Revelation and the beast that Daniel saw in Daniel chapter 7. In Daniel 7, it reads, And you can go ahead and hashtag in the chat, keep the message trending, the gospel life, eternal life. So Daniel 7 reads, in the first year of Belteshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream of visions of his head while on his bed. Then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man. And a man's heart was given to it. And suddenly another beast, a second, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. After this, I looked, and there was another like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. After this, I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little one, hashtag a little one, coming up among them, before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there in this horn were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous words. In verse 15, Daniel said, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. In verse 21, he says, I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. Verse 22, he shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, and times, and half times. And in prophecy, we know that's 1260 years from the period 538 to 798. This was a persecuting power that persecuted the people of God during that time. We talk a little bit about that. Some people call it the Dark Ages or the Middle Ages. So here Daniel is talking about four world empires. And God gave Daniel this vision because this vision that Daniel has in Daniel 7, we are going to see in Revelation 13 that the parallelism with that beast and the beast in Revelation 13 are the same beast, the same time period, has to do with the same territory. So I'm going to break down to show you what is happening and why the people of God are called to pray for such a time as this. So the first world empire was the beast with the lion, and this was Babylon. And so Babylon ruled from 605 to 539 BC. The second world empire was Medo-Persia, and they reigned from 539 to 331 BC, and they were the bear. The third world empire was Greece, and they were the leopard. And they reigned from 331 to 168. And then the fourth beast, the nondescript beast, the terrible looking beast that really upset Daniel was Rome. And they reigned from 168 BC to AD 476, but they didn't really go away, right? So the beast, so we'll see here. So beast, as we know, from the sea is representative of water, people. Water representative of people, multitudes. So this beast came out in a populated area. So we're looking here and we see where Daniel said, as he looked, that there was a little horn, and the little horn uprooted three rivals. So Daniel is looking at this time period, and we know that these three horns that were uprooted, so you had 10 horns, and it's really East European country. So the three rivals that was uprooted was the Heruli, the Vandals, and the Ostrogoths. Today in modern Europe, we have the Alemanni, which is Germany, the Burgundians, which is Swiss, the Franks, which is the French, the Lombards, the Italian, the Anglo-Saxon, the English, and the Suevi, the French, and the Visigoth, the Spanish. So we know we have 7 horns remaining. We know that from this, Daniel saw that there was a period, a 1260 days, and in prophetic, in prophecy, a day equals a year. And we can look at that in Numbers and Ezekiel. So here we see that there was this power was a persecuting power that spoke against the Most High God and persecuted the saints. We know from history that the Justinian decree was made just around the time when the last of the Vandals, when the Ostrogoths was destroyed in 538, that Emperor Justinian made the Bishop of Rome the religious and political power over Western Europe, and they ruled for 1260 years. It was an oppressive power. It was a power that persecuted Christians. Hundreds and thousands, even millions of Christians died within the Middle Ages, that period of time. So we identify that little horn that it went to make war with the saints. History confirms the accuracy of this time period that the Ostrogoths, the last of the Arian kingdom to oppose the Roman church, were overthrown in the year 538 AD, leaving the papacy free to develop her political and ecclesiastical power exactly 1260 years. Why am I saying this, saints? I want you to be an astute student of the word. I know that many of the presenters before, they broke it down piece by piece, and that's where we need to be, line upon line, precept upon precept, a little here, a little there, to understand. Study to show yourself approved so you will not be deceived. Now, if we flip over to Revelations 13, verse 1 to 8. This beast that you're seeing right there is a composite of all the beasts in Daniel chapter 7. He said, then I stood on the sea, the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and on his horns 10 crowns, and on his head a blasphemous name. Now the beast which I saw was a leopard. His feet were like the feet of a bear, and his mouth was like the mouth of a lion. The dragon gave him his power, his throne, and his authority. And I saw one of his head as it was been mortally wounded, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world marveled and followed the beast. So they worship the dragon who gave authority to the beast, and they worship the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And he was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and he was given authority to continue 42 months. And 42 months right there is equivalent to 1260 days. So it's the same time period, 1260 years, the persecuting oppressive power. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and those who dwell in heaven. It was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. An authority was given him over every tribe, tongue, and nation. All who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose name have not been written in the Lamb's book of life. So let me repeat. So those whose name is not written in the Lamb's book of life will worship this beast. said from that from that. So I want to just give a quick parallel. So the beast you see in Daniel was a lion, a bear, a leopard. Revelation. The same beast. It was a persecuting power in Daniel, persecuting power in Revelation 13. It's going to enforce worship in Daniel 7. The same beast is enforcing worship in Revelation. It's an enemy of God. Same time period. Daniel's Revelation 13 is just an expansion of the prophecy of Daniel. So with this focus, that Revelation 13 focuses on the dragon side in this cosmic war of that we see in Revelation 12, verse 17. And the dragon was enraged with the woman and went to make war with the rest of her offspring who keeps the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that dragon we know is Satan. Don't miss this. In Revelation 13 verse 2, the dragon delegated his power and his throne and great authority to the sea beast. Consequently, the sea beast offers a rival gospel. So the first angel's message is to preach the everlasting gospel. This beast is offering a rival gospel. Some of us, we say he's an antichrist and we think he's against God. It could be that, but he could act as he's in the place of God. So what we do, all right, how we worship, there's a counterfeit worship that is closely linked to that. So we need to be students of the word and understand. And I'm just going to track with me. Revelation 14 focuses on the remnant side of the final event of the conflict. And it is good news. Good news that end time people prevails. That the remnant, that you and I prevail. We have to read this aloud. We prevailed. I know some of the presenters, they went over Revelation 1 verse 5 where they saw the remnants, the 144, you know, standing on Mount Zion with the lamb. And, you know, we see the lamb always depicted as the lamb slain. The lamb is standing victoriously. So the people of God will be standing victoriously. So God is not giving us a cliffhanger. We know how the story ends. We know how the story ends. And so the biggest and most important assignment of our lifetime is to proclaim the three angels' messages with the call to prayer. Jesus is speaking. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come. We are called to prayer because there's a global revival that comes with praying. Before the revival comes, we must repent. There's a call to repentance. So this gospel message of the first angel's message is so also a call for repentance. In Joel 2 verse 17, he says, let the priest who ministers to the Lord weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Lord, because as the gospel goes forth, there's also judgment. But judgment is in favor of the saints. So we have nothing to worry about because the blood of Jesus Christ atones for us. We need to reset the temperature of our heart to repent. Reset it with confession. Reset it with repentance. Reset it with forgiveness, with love, grace, and humility, and wisdom. The three angels' messages bring revival. We must be in prayer, praying passionate prayer, prevailing prayer, warfare prayer, wailing prayer. Pastor Kevin preached last Sabbath that prayer is not an event. It is a lifestyle. There is no true revival without prayer. There's nowhere in history where there was a revival, where there was a global awakening without prayer. When Evan Roberts was in the sitting in the front pew and he said, bend me, Lord, bend me. This 25 said, bend me, Lord, bend the church, Lord. The church of God needs to be bended. We need to bend. We need to repent because we have not done the work that God has called us for. When we pray, or prayers give heaven permission to release God's will on earth. Or prayer allows the supernatural to draw down into the natural. Thy will be done in heaven as on earth as it is in heaven. The kingdom of God comes on earth when we pray. Prayer is the fundamental key to unlocking prophecy. Our church was birthed in prayer. It was birthed from the great disappointment and the band of people praying for revelation. So prayer unlocks revelation in prophecy. Daniel was in prayer when he received the vision. The Apostle Paul, the Apostle John, was in prayer. Even though he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos, suffering unimaginable horrors, he was in prayer when the revelation of Jesus Christ came to him. The word of God tells us in Amos 3 verse 7, surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to the prophets. It is in the praying that brings forth the revealing. Let me repeat. It is in the praying that brings forth the revealing. Jeremiah 33 verse 3 says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things you do not know. How do you call to God? You pray. God's great appeal is a personal appeal to you, to me. Even though he's appealing to the church of God at large, he's also appealing to your heart. How did he appeal to me? When I was 5 years old. Maybe before then, but I remember when I was 5 years old, in front of my grandparents' house, I remember playing and I remember just a sensation to look up. I didn't hear a voice, but I stood there. I can remember. I was around 5 or 6 looking out because there was a call. Not only then, he appealed to me when I was around 12 years old. I remember the same community. I was at a crossroad in a dream. And when I looked in the sky, I saw the sky as clear. And a rainbow appeared in the sky and parted the sky. And a face like a man with beard came and he was looking at me. So God was speaking to me. All through my life, God was speaking to me. Many of you have heard me when I told you when I was about my late teens, now going off to college, when I had that fearful dream, when I heard the trump of God and I was not ready. I didn't know what the trump of God until I emigrated to this country and a little 5-year-old girl who was going to a Jewish school because she's Hebrew and it was that time of Yom Kippur and I heard the sound and I said to her, what's that sound? And she told me, I heard it in a dream, the trump of God, and people weren't ready. I dreamt when I was in college that I died. And I went before God and I bawled and I said, God, I know the dead cannot be converted. Give me one more chance. One more chance. I begged. And I remember seeing a golden scepter reached out to me and I woke up with tears streaming down my face because it felt real that God gave me another chance. I was in a relationship when I just got in the church that I was not supposed to be in. And in the middle of an argument, God said to me audibly, why do ye not hearken unto my voice? I was more interested that God spoke in Old English. Took me years. Why do ye not hearken unto my voice? Just the day after Thanksgiving, God spoke to me, and I have to share this with you because this is for the church. But God has been speaking to us. He's been tugging. You may not get a vision or a dream, but in the word, in the counsel. Yes, I can share you the one in 21 when I was waking. When I was waking up in 2021 one morning, he said, Dion, read Hebrews 13 verse 7. And I was like, 13 verse 7? He said, remember, this is God. Remember your leaders. Those who spoke to you the word of God, consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus is speaking to us. In Amos 5 verse 4, he said, seek me and live. The three angels' message is a message of prayer. It's a message that we are ministers of reconciliation. In 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17, verse 20, in the interest of time, he said, therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. The three angels' message to prayer is praying is to discern the signs of the time. While I was living in Jamaica, my fondest childhood memory is to see the egrets. In Jamaica, it's the garling. So you guys know the garling. So in the evening, we know that the garling, they're going to form a V shape, and they're going to fly back to their roost. As I was thinking about that, I said that the animal acts on instinct. We have the Holy Spirit. The animal know when to go to roost. Do you know the signs of the times? Just Thursday, I was looking and I saw CNN breaking news. Russia won't rule out military deployment to Cuba and Venezuela. And we know what has been going back and forth. And I've shared with you guys here a warning in 2017. One Sunday, I had a brief nap. And when I had a dream, I lived right there on the border of Coral Spring and Tamarack, right at Tefford Park. My front of my house is facing west. And when I looked down to Tefford Park and I look up in the skies, it was raining bombs. And everywhere the bombs dropped, they just exploded like nuclear bombs. They just mushroomed. And it's like I stood there because I knew I have nowhere to run. Nowhere to run. So I just stood there. I didn't see when it consumed me, but I know everywhere it did. That was November. In March 2018, you can go and look at it. Because of copyright, I couldn't show it. But you can go and see where it said, Putin touts invincible nuclear-powered missile over Florida. He did a propaganda video with the same nuclear bomb that I saw in my vision. The same sharp-pointed dropping. That is what he was showing over Florida. God is warning. The signs of the times are mounting. World events are mounting. The earth is quaking. You have COVID-19, death toll increasing. Immigration, millions have fled their home. Inflation is at an all-time high. The consumer price index is highest it has ever been in years. Just we saw the Boulder, Colorado fire where there was 115 hurricane miles wind that just destroyed people's property just like that. We saw in December the tornado that just swept through Kentucky and the other four states and just destroyed people's property just like that. Depression, all kind of things is coming up. Pastor Dexter talks in the book of Jeremiah 12, verse 5, he said, if we can't run with the footmen, how are we going to run with the horsemen? We need to be on our knees, saints of God, in prayer. We need to be in the Word of God. We need to be incubated in the Word of God. We need to be incubated in prayer. God is speaking. There's a cultural revolution that is going on that parents are scratching their heads. I am scratching my head because it's everywhere. Every strata of society, sexual identity, the spirit of necromancy, occultic practice, Wicca and witchcraft is being normalized. Demon possession is on the rise. Just saw recently one of the most prestigious universities here. Their chaplain is an atheist. How do you reconcile that? You know, every year I tend to start a document and I name it Signs of the Time. Sometimes I get so overwhelmed, I stop. But I just, for the purpose of this sermon, I just picked a little. But this was just this week. USA Today faced backlash and delete series of tweets which normalize pedophilia by claiming it is misunderstood and a condition determined in the womb. A university professor was removed because he said it's a minor attraction. Pedophilia, there's nothing, it's just minor attraction. And we see many times these things become normalized. People become desensitized. So you think USA just did this when they had to delete it? They're testing the temperature. Then I saw this other one, after school Satan club. In Illinois, parents are protesting. So the church, the temple of Satan, is now having an after-school Satan club that is targeting first graders to sixth graders. What really struck me is what they say. They said the club will teach children about benevolence and empathy, critical thinking, problem solving, creative expression, and personal sovereignty, according to a widely circulated flyer on their social media pages. It said Satanists should actively work to hone critical thinking and exercise reasonable agnosticism in all things. Our belief must be malleable to the best current scientific understanding of the material world. So we see many of our children who are leaving our homes and becoming atheists because you have a syndicate of professors or a system that is hell-bent that when they graduate, when they matriculate, that they are atheists. More Americans left religion during the pandemic, showing the percentage of Americans with no religious affiliation rose to 29%, while Christian declined to 63%. There's hope. It's not always bad. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 6, verse 19, we have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain. Praying daily for the baptism of the Holy Spirit will give you the spiritual gumption, the spiritual fortitude, because you're tethered in Christ. So when the tide of life pull you one way, Jesus pulled you back the other way. You are tethered to Jesus Christ. In order to experience the millennial move of God in your life and to proclaim the three angels' messages, you must be in a prayer life. You must be in the Word of God. Ian Bones put it this way: a holy life does not live in the closet, but it cannot live without the closet. Prayer releases God's power in your life to turbocharge your witnessing. It empowers timid believers to become bold in the face of trials and persecution. Prayer position believers to stand firm in faith like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, not bowing, not taking a knee to Babylon, to the apostate church, the apostate system. Let them say like them, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O King. So if it's your job, your hand, O King. But if not, be it known to you, O King, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. Prayer allow believers to secure God's supernatural power and an authority. Dr. Tony Evans has this very important quote that I'd like to share with you. He says, Satan has constitutional superiority over every man and woman because he is a spirit being. He's not bound by limitation of flesh and blood. You must fight him in God's word, his truth, and in prayer. Prayer anchors the peace of God in us during the raging storms and dark valley experiences of life. Prayer does not change God. Prayer changes us to experience the greatness of God. You know, the previous presenters, they talk about the first angel's message, that it goes out with a loud voice. And that word, that Greek word, is the phone megale, like a megaphone. You have to shout. You have to let your life shout. shine. Now is not the time to be a timid Christian. Now is not the time to be a silent Christian. Souls are depending on you. If there's ever a time that the church of God needs to come alive, it is now. People are depressed. They're without hope. They do not know what tomorrow brings. They're anxious. The nation is divided. The world is divided. There's polarization everywhere. If you find everything that is going on, the vaccine mandate, not the vaccine mandate, you know, Republicans, Democrats, there's no compromise. There is no neutrality. There's no reasoning. You have, right now, you just have extremism. And that's what the enemy is feeding on. Your very neighbor right now could be your enemy. Just because of one ideology, we're fighting an ideological war. The warfare is in the mind. You must protect your mind. You protect it in prayer. You protect it in spending time with God. That is what he's calling you to, saints of God. Don't allow the message to just go through and pass through. Don't just say, oh, it was a good message. Or, you know, Pastor Kevin did a wonderful job. Oh, the church was on fire today. What does that translate to? If you're not doing anything with it. You know, I see where the beast is asking. He's going to enforce worship. And as I was looking, and I saw for those who have been naturalized American citizen, before you get your naturalization, you have to take an oath of allegiance. And when I read it, I said, man, if Christians could have a creed like this, but there's one, it says, I hereby declare an oath that I absolutely and entirely renounce and abjure all allegiance and fidelity to any foreign prince, potentate, state, or sovereignty of whom or which I have heretofore been subject or citizen, that I will support and defend the Constitution and laws of the United States of America. This is us if you convert it. This is God saying in Exodus 20, verse 2 to 3, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. We all are going to have to make a choice. We're either going to hearken to the voice of the first angel about the everlasting gospel and the hour of God's judgment. We're going to either talk about the second angel's message where we will suffer the wrath of God if we have been given the wonderful opportunity of grace and we spurn that opportunity. Because right after the third angel's message comes the harvest. In Revelation 19, it said, the faithful and true that Jesus Christ was on that white horse and said, thrust in your sickle. Because the grains have ripened. Jesus Christ is coming back, church, very soon. So I want to close with this dream that he gave me the day after Thanksgiving. That morning, I dreamt that I was back in Jamaica. For God have a reason to bring me back to familiar places. And there was a certain time of very early morning when an angel comes in the sky with a golden trumpet. To blow the trumpet. But the angel was happy. Happy to proclaim that Jesus is coming back. Then I had the vision switched. And I saw Jesus in his high priestly robe. He was happy. I've never seen happiness like that. He was happy. He was eager to come back. He's like, Jesus wants to come back. He's happy. Many times we see, we're thinking the judgment. We're getting serious. Oh my God. Jesus is overtly, he's overly excited to come back for you and for me. And then I saw myself back in this church telling some members about this dream. I remember one person, male, and I want to say God has revealed more to me about that. One male, and he said to me, I am interested in hearing, but I have to take my daughter to an appointment. I said it to another male, and they said, really, I'm interested, just wanted to know. What the Lord has revealed to me about the church. The church is preoccupied with things that are not supposed to be the priority. God is supposed, and God wants to reorder that. And I think why he showed me the male, the leadership in the homes, that men, you need to take up your spiritual mantle and you need to start to lead and reprioritize, because when the house is right, society is right. When the house is right, God's standard bearers of holiness is a righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. If you men, when you're leading your house with principle, with spiritual integrity, the world cannot have that influence over your children. The government cannot have that influence over your children, because prayer breaks strongholds. Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. And for every man, boy, and girl, rich and poor, strong and weak, the message is going forth. We are the proclaimers of the three angels' messages. Jesus wants to give you that recommendation when he comes. Well done. Good and faithful servant. Let no man allow you to lose your crown. Stay faithful, stay steadfast, stand tall and prayer in Jesus Christ.
I'm going to ask you to stand as we sing our closing song. As we declare today, we believe in the Father, we believe in the Son, and we believe in the Holy Spirit. Join and sing with us in this time of desperation.
This broken generation.
friends, Jesus is coming back again real, real soon. And he wants your name. He wants to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He wants to take you to be with him where he is, as he promised in John 14, that where he is, he wants to take us to have eternal life. Not just this life that our bodies are riddled with pain, and when we're old, we are suffering from osteoporosis or scoliosis or something. To have life, an abundant life. If you're here this morning and you feel that God, the Holy Spirit, is tugging at your heart, I don't want you to vacillate. I don't want you to give another moment of delay. I want you to text your prayer or text, you know, your request. If you want to get Bible study, if you want to get to know God about the Word of God and to join a church family, text to prayer 954-388-8780, or you can email prayer.request@plantationsda.org, or you could scan your QR code. That, you know, if you open your phone, if you open your camera, you can scan that QR code and it gives you that information. Or you can go online to prayer.plantationsda.org. Oh, my friends, salvation is sweet. What Jesus Christ did in John 3 verse 16 is the ultimate love of the Father. Won't you allow him to come into your heart? And if you are a believer and somehow your faith has somewhat become a little flaky, a little feeble, Jesus' arms are open wide, because it says that the righteous man falls 7 times, but he gets up. And the Holy Spirit is there to spur you on, because he wants to see you to get that crown of life. That Stephanos, the Stefano, the crown of life. God wants you. So I want you to pray with me. Abba, Father, thank you so much, God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for all that you have done. God, thank you for the love that you showed when you sent your son, your only son, to pour out his life for us. God, I pray for those right now who have made a decision to follow you. God, I ask that you will now dispatch your angels to those homes, that you will protect them, Lord God Almighty, that those you will give, Lord Jesus, to help them to come to know you, Father, that they will show the love of Jesus Christ, that they will show Christ in a practical, loving way, Father, that they too, God, can be the disciples to go out and to share the good news. Father, for your church, I pray for revival. I pray, Holy Spirit, that you release power, Pentecostal power, Pentecostal fire upon your people. I pray where there are dead places in the lives of your people that you'll resurrect with the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I pray that you'll quicken us with the life of the Spirit, that you will anoint our tongues, God, that you'll circumcise the wax from our ears, God, and anoint us that we will go out and that we'll stand, oh God, we will stand in the highways, we will stand in the byways, we will stand in corporate America, wherever we are, God, whoever we are, that we will give the trumpet a unique sound for Jesus Christ. Holy Father, I ask, no, Lord, that you will bless us, that your countenance will be shining upon us, that you will bless us for the week to come, that you'll keep at bay every pestilence, every plague. I pray, oh God, that you will rule and overrule every decision of the enemy. I pray that you'll put a restraining order against the enemy, oh God, from our children, oh God. Lord, from harassing your people. Lord God Almighty, I ask now that you'll put your favor like a shield around us, around this community. God, I ask that you will embolden us, that we will go for charge, rejuvenated with the word of God, with the word of truth, standing, oh God, on the truth that we, oh God, will not bow to Babylon, because Jesus Christ is our victor, and Jesus Christ has ransomed us, and nothing will snatch us from the hand of Jesus. So, Father, here we are as we surrender ourselves to you. I ask, oh God, that you bless our homes, bless every decision, Lord God, that you will release your power, release your anointing. We love you. We bless you. We praise you because you are God Almighty, the creator of all things. In Jesus' matchless name we pray. We give you thanks. Amen.
This podcast was brought to you by Plantation Seventh-day Adventist Church, a Christ-centered congregation dedicated to spreading the good news of God's love through sermons, deeper dive conversations, and much more. If you would like to listen to more life lessons and inspirational content, please visit us at plantationsda.tv.